Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, we'll give you a taste of the start of spring training with Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Plus, we'll chat with Drew Smyly, CJ Riefenhauser, and Steve Gels.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, February 24th, and I hope you had a great time at FanFest. It certainly was awesome to see many of you there, and as you probably know, pitchers and catchers officially began workouts yesterday, so let's begin there.
Time now to head up to the press box.
Now joining us on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, a guy who is doing his fair share of work in Port Charlotte over the next 6 weeks, that's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Topper, good to see you. We'll be seeing plenty of each other over the next 6 weeks.
Don't forget the sunblock, Neil. Don't forget the sunblock.
Have used plenty already. Let's start with what happened before spring training. You had a great Sunday piece where you kind of outlined who the Rays lost from last year and who they're going to miss most. How'd you go through the process and how challenging was it?
Yeah, it really was a little more difficult than I first thought. I guess, you know, you kind of have it in the back of your mind and you know, which way you're going to go. And I thought maybe it would either be Andrew Friedman or Joe Maddon, and then, you know, when you start analyzing, well, you know, on the field more, Ben Zobrist. So I really kind of locked in on those three, and I talked to a bunch of people, and you know, without getting too specific, but I talked to some, you know, former Rays players and personnel, some current Rays players and personnel, some people that are around the team that don't necessarily work for the team, and, you know, let's say if I talked to 12 or 13 people, it was just about split, you know, evenly in thirds as to who, you know, they felt was most likely to be missed. And you know, picking Andrew Friedman number one wasn't an indictment of Matt Silverman taking over for him. It was, to me, though, the biggest void to be created was by Andrew Friedman's departure. Now, Matt Silverman may very well step in and fill that void. You know, and same thing with Ben Zobrist, who I ended up with number two. That's a large role because he could do so much for this team.
Maybe what was most surprising to me is not that the three you had at the top three, but that of, what, 13, Will Myers was seventh.
Yeah, he was, and I had to actually think that one through for a little while because I, you know, slotting Will was an interesting part of the exercise because, you know, he really didn't do very much for the Rays last year, and I think as a result the expectations were so lowered, and, you know, we've talked about this, I think, on one of your other shows, Neil, that, you know, to me that might be the move that has the biggest, you know, reward or risk because if he continues to be unimpressive, the Rays were very smart in getting rid of him when they did and getting a pretty good return, you know, Steven Souza and Rene Rivera being the highlight parts of that package. But if Will Myers does, you know, kind of regain that form that he showed during his Rookie of the Year season in 2013, then maybe it's a move that the Rays were a little premature in making and should have waited to see what he could do. So that's the one that I'll be most curious to see. But as far as his impact on the team, I just don't think it's that great right now.
Here on this Tuesday, the second full day of formal workouts of pitchers and catchers, Evan Longoria reports. Now, we had him on our Countdown to Opening Day show about a week and a half back, and you spoke with him in person, first person to do that, over the weekend at FanFest. What was your takeaway from that?
Well, you know, I think Evan had a couple things to say that kind of stuck out to me. One was that, you know, he was on board with some of the moves that the Rays made. He understands it's part of the business and part of their marketplace. And, you know, he said that it's obviously going to be a younger team. It's going to be a team that's going to need some things to click into place for it to work. He kind of hearkened it back to 2008 and, you know, whether he meant before the Rays were really good or he meant in a similarity to, you know, how that team, a lot of things had to fall into place for it to work. So those are a couple things that struck me as interesting. Another one that I'll be curious to see as this unfolds is Evan made it sound like he's going to kind of take this burden upon himself to kind of talk to some of these new guys and tell them not to put too much pressure on themselves. And yet that seemed to be, I think those of us who saw Evan last year, that seemed to be one of the issues he had last year early in the season in light of some of the other absences of putting too much pressure on himself.
A guy who could take on a leadership role, maybe not quite like an Eric Hinsky or a Cliff Floyd, is a guy who came in here on the first day where pitchers and catchers were asked to come in. That's Asdrubal Cabrera. Kevin Cash spoke very highly of his leadership, and I guess it does say something that he was probably the most veteran player to arrive on day one.
Absolutely, and, you know, I think there was, you know, just not any curiosity, but, you know, just, you know, when would he show up and, you know, what would be his attitude when he came in? I mean, he signed a free agent contract with the Rays. You know, 1 year deal, you know, not at a particularly huge price, $7.5 million, you know, a reasonable salary. And, you know, he was traded last year after a very long career with the Indians to the Nationals. They moved him over to second base. The Rays haven't decided yet where he's going to play. He seemed in good spirits today about that question, said he's willing to play either at shortstop or at second base. but he would like them to make a decision. So I don't know that bouncing back and forth would be real high on his list.
Which certainly would make the next few weeks interesting in terms of what the Rays decide. Logan Forsyth, Tim Beckham, Hak-Ju Lee, Nick Franklin. I mean, between those four, you know, you can't really platoon. You almost need a platoon on one side of the infield, and the other becomes a utility guy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think that's part of the way the Rays have to look at this is, you know, one question could be, where is Cabrera going to be the better defender? And, you know, I think the indications were that maybe the range is diminished a little at short, and he might be a better defender at second base. So then your question becomes, who is their best shortstop? Is it Tim Beckham? Is it finally his time? Is it Nick Franklin, who got a limited chance at short with the Rays last year but has played short some in the minors? If one of those guys can be the everyday shortstop, they could put Cabrera at second. If they're not confident one of those guys could be the everyday shortstop and they don't go out and get someone, which is also a possibility, then I would think they go back to Cabrera at short and platoon pretty much righty-lefty at second.
But it seems, I guess, unlikely that you'd see Cabrera at short against righties and at second against lefties versus him playing one spot.
That's what it sounds like, at least his preference. And, you know, I think talking to Kevin Cash about it a couple times and again on the first day of workouts, he made it sound like, you know, they're going to look at all these different scenarios. They're going to be very communicative with Cabrera. You know, they'd rather make it sooner than later, but it sounds to me like this is one of those things that may come down to that last week of spring training.
As we're taping this here on Tuesday, there was some other news on Monday about Rays spring training, and one piece was Grant Balfour. Now, he says it's not a big deal, but he was the only guy who did not throw a bullpen on Monday, and I guess he is the oldest guy in the roster right now. In fact, other than Kevin Cash is only, what, like 6 weeks older than him.
Yeah, I think they have to call each other sir is how that works. Yeah, I mean, you know, Grant has been throwing at the Trop. I actually saw him one day when I was there during the offseason and, you know, threw 40 pitches and he was kind of bragging about it. So I don't think there's any issue. Both he and the Rays people say there's no issue at all. It's really a matter of conserving bullets, kind of counting back from opening day and kind of shaving a week off of his spring training. He'll start throwing his bullpens about a week after everyone else. He'll pitch in probably 8 or 9 games. Some of the relievers might pitch in 10 or 11. And it'll just be a matter of getting him, you know, kind of geared up. He said one year he was with a team. They had him start spring training and then kind of take some time off in the middle. He didn't really like that. So he'd rather just wait a week or so and then start and just go right through it.
Well, certainly makes sense. And there were two pitchers who have not reported yet. And I guess probably not a surprise in this day and age, visa issues have become such a challenge. We found that out last year involving Juan Sandoval and Juan Carlos Oviedo. This year, Alex Colome and Ronald Belisario are out. How big an impact could it be for either?
For Belisario, I don't think it'll be a big deal, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be much of a delay. He signed relatively late with the Rays, so, you know, that probably falls in line with maybe it just takes a few extra days. You do always wonder, you know, and it's not our place to know how that process and procedure works down there, but, you know, these guys know they have to leave in mid-February, you know, get this taken care of as soon as you can, and sometimes it's the bureaucracy. The Colome one could be a little more interesting because he did have that drug suspension last year, that PED suspension, and sometimes that can kind of further gum up the works down there. The authorities do a little more checking. I don't think it necessarily means anything bad, but they kind of, you know, almost you wonder, they just make them pay a little bit by stalling a little bit. Oh, I lost that paperwork, Mr. Colome. The word what we're hearing is that, you know, maybe within a week he'll be in camp. And, you know, look, he's got a shot to be the number 5 starter. So anytime he misses, I think, matters. The one benefit is the Rays do have a fully staffed facility in the Dominican Republic. And from what I heard today, he'll be working out there until the visa issue clears.
And I guess the good news there is as long as he comes back before they're facing live hitters, there shouldn't be really any impact.
Right, and that's really, you know, as long as he stays on his training program, stays on his throwing program. But, you know, there is something to be said for being here and being in camp. And, you know, yes, Jim Hickey knows him, but Kevin Cash doesn't know him. He's probably never met him. And, you know, they do need to kind of build that relationship. The new catcher, Rene Rivera, is here. He probably has no experience with Colome. So, you know, there is a benefit to being here also.
Certainly the fifth starter spot is one we're going to watch. We're also going to watch the middle infield, as we touched on with Asdrubal Cabrera. In your mind, what are the other key stories to focus on in spring training?
Well, besides how much sunburn you get, I think it'll be the backup catcher job. And right now, you know, Bobby Wilson and Kurt Casale are the two candidates. Whether they opt to bring in a more veteran guy toward the end of spring, that wouldn't surprise me if that happened. And there's going to be one or two spots open in the bullpen. If Colome is in the rotation with McGee on the DL to start the year, there could be a couple spots in the bullpen. If Colome takes one of those, there would just be one spot. I mean, Kirby Yates might be that guy. Belisario, who's on an on-roster deal, might be that guy. And then there's certainly some other options. You know, C.J. Riefenhauser, give him a second lefty. You know, a guy like Steve Geltz, who was up at times last year. So they've got a number of options. I know the Rays feel really good about the depth, even with McGee out, that they've got 3 or 4 guys that they think are, you know, closer-quality type guys. be it Boxberger, Balfour, Jepsen, who they brought in. So there's a number of possibilities.
Well, we'll be hearing from both Geltz and Riefenhauser later on in the podcast. In the meantime, I'm going to go get some shade so I put on a little more sunblock. Mark Topkin, thanks for being with us.
Sure, Neil, anytime.
That's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times in a segment we like to call From the Press Box. Now, Tuesday began with just 10 players who haven't reported. Don't forget, the latest can be found on our blog at raysradio.moblogs.com, where we'll post news and notes throughout the day, as well as on our Twitter account, at Rays Radio. Coming up, I'll chat with three of the pitchers in camp, Drew Smyly, C.J. Riefenhauser, and Steve Geltz, on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, right after this. Welcome back to our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. I'm Neil Solons. You know, Drew Smyly impressed many last year after being dealt from Detroit in the David Price deal. Smyly was terrific in seven starts with the Rays, and I asked him Monday about his excitement level as he begins his first spring training with Tampa Bay.
Just getting things going again. I think our rotation and staff is going to be incredible. I mean, we're going to have to go out and do our job, but I think we have a lot of potential to be really good. So I'm just excited to, you know, be here with these guys and start throwing again.
Obviously, you had seven very, very good starts last year when you came on board. What are your goals for this year, personally?
I don't really set goals. Just make all your starts, stay healthy, try to pitch as deep in the game as you can. I mean, if you're pitching deep in the game, you're going to have a really good season. So my goals are just keep taking the ball every 5 days and give your team a chance to win.
I know Jake has put on some weight and went through a particular strength program to add. Is there anything that you did differently in this offseason to kind of prepare for hoping to make 33 starts?
I mean, I always try to put on as much weight as I can in the offseason. I'm kind of lanky, so, and I lose it throughout the season, my weight. So I always try to beef up as much as I can, I guess. But, no, just, you know, work out, stay in shape, and get ready.
What's the biggest adjustment you made when coming over here last year, or were there many when you had those seven really good starts, and is there anything that you took from it that you think will even help you that much more this year?
Not much, just doing what you do. I mean, they gave me a few pointers and tips on how to attack guys, but you know, I just go out there and throw, and you got to execute pitches to get guys out.
When you were in Detroit, you were the young guy. Now everyone's kind of that same age group. Is it kind of nice to be in that kind of area where you're all in a kind of familiar, you know, familiar age range, you know, maybe similar likes, dislikes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. That's what I'm excited about, because, like you said, in Detroit we had really good rotations, but I mean, I was the young guy, and they're all really established pitchers. And here, I think our rotation's just as good. I think we can compete against any top five of any other team, and we are all the same age, and we all feel like we have a lot of potential to grow and get better, and I think it's just starting to happen for us, so it's going to be exciting.
That's Drew Smyly, who posted a 1.7 ERA in seven starts with the Rays last year. Now, one of the intriguing battles in camp is in the Rays bullpen. With Jake McGee expected to begin the year on the DL, one would think that a couple of spots are still up for grabs, at least for the time being. I had a chance to speak with one of those competing for a job in C.J. Riefenhauser. The New York native spent most of the offseason training in Jupiter, Florida. Riefenhauser made his big league debut last year, and he explained how different things are from a year ago when he was in his first major league camp.
It definitely makes you want to stay up there. And it's also, you know, you come into this a little bit more knowing what's going to happen. You know, this is my second big league camp, and it's definitely more, I'm more comfortable here now, and it's just, you know, you're kind of just trying to be on a mission and try to win a spot.
What did you learn about yourself last year, and what do you think you learned the most about hitters at this level?
I had a lot of ups and downs last year, and it, I feel like that helped me out mentally, and it helped me out coming into this year. And with hitters, you know, pitching in the big leagues, it's, I can do the same thing. I just need to stay on my approach, my game plan, and, you know, kind of pitch to my strengths as well as strengthening my weaknesses this off season. So I feel more comfortable coming into camp this year.
What do you see as your strengths and weaknesses? What do you hope to improve upon from a year ago, pitch-wise?
Well, weaknesses was definitely the changeup. I kind of shied away from that over the years, and this offseason I threw it a lot. And also my four-seam fastball, you know, trying to locate that better. I can never not get better at locating the fastball. So I kind of went into that this offseason, really fastball command and get my secondaries good.
Is there anything we'll see differently with the changeup, whether it's grip or it's just a matter of throwing it enough where you feel more comfortable using it in different situations?
Yeah, I had the tendency to slow down a lot, try to, you know, it's a feel pitch. So, this year I changed up the grip a little bit. I'm throwing it, you know, I think more violently than I did last year, which I think is going to help a lot.
How else did you train differently for this coming season? And where are you different from a year ago? I know you had the oblique right after you got your first major league opportunity in April.
Yeah, well, I got into the car accident last offseason, so that, you know, that kind of pushed me back a little while. This year, yeah, I trained with a guy named Eric Cressy, which I did going into my 2013 season, and I really feel like that helps a lot. He's real good with shoulders and kind of keeping the legs under you and everything like that, so I feel strong and I feel healthy, so that's all I can say about that.
And there is opportunity here. Jake's going to be out for a little bit. Jeff Béliveau's the only other lefty in the bullpen it would seem right now. How do you view that? And how do you make sure to just worry about what you can control?
Yeah, like you just said, I don't worry about it. I don't even – doesn't matter to me. It has no effect. Just try to come in here, you know, open some eyes and see where it goes from there.
You do have a new – manager, and there have been a lot of changes all around. How do you view that, and are you excited about the change?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I heard nothing great things about Cash. I met him for a minute the other day, and great guy. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm just trying to get this ball going. You know, it's here now finally. So let's do it.
That's C.J. Riefenhauser, who will be fighting for a bullpen job this spring. Now he's one of several pitchers on the 40-man roster in the mix, with another being righty Steve Geltz. Geltz last year was added to the Rays roster after spending the spring as a non-roster invite, and Geltz reflected on his latest opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, like I said, this is a blessing to be here. Every day that I got a uniform, it's just I'm happy to have. And whether I'm on the roster or not, it never really takes away my determination and my fight to make a squad, you know. And that's basically the bottom line. If someone's going to give me an opportunity, I'm going to take it.
What did you learn from the last couple months last year at this level?
I learned a lot. I learned how to approach hitters at this level. I learned how to kind of act and conduct myself in a big league manner, as professional as I can. And you know, it's been nothing but an absolutely great learning experience for me.
The bullpen has changed a lot, but there certainly are opportunities here. Who did you learn from a lot last year? Who do you lean on during the course of spring training to pick their brain?
You know, there's a lot of great guys on this team. Any one of them, and it's not even just the bullpen guys. Like I'm rooming with Oda Rizzi this year, and you know he's a knowledgeable pitcher, and he's a few years younger than me, but he knows a lot more. He's got a lot more experience and stuff, so I have no problem picking guys' brains like that. But it's just nice to be around pitches and in the bullpen and stuff to be able to, you know, pick their brains, whether they're veteran guys or younger guys, because everyone's here. You know, some guys have a little more time here and stuff, but hey. Let's ask them a little bit more. Or maybe, you know, a guy like Kirby, he's been here, you know, for a couple months now. And, hey, now I can ask him some things. Hey, man, what'd you do here? What'd you think about that? And it's just nice to have a constant give-and-take relationship with all these guys because they're just such good guys.
You mentioned Odo. I know he put 17 pounds of weight on during the course of the offseason. Anything that you did any differently to train for this year?
I was down in Georgia instead of up in Buffalo, so I was able to throw a little bit more. There's not quite as much snow in Georgia as there is in Buffalo.
How happy were you to leave Buffalo based on the winter they had this year?
Well, you know, and I told my girlfriend this. I'm gonna miss the snow. Like waking up on Christmas with no snow is kind of like weird to me. But all in all, it was nice to be able to move around and travel and stuff in Georgia and Atlanta area and not have to worry about 4 feet of snow on the ground. But at the same time, it's home. You know, home is home, and I'm always gonna love home and miss home. So,
did you get back there at all? And if so, did you have to do any shoveling?
yeah, I did. We were back and forth a couple times from Atlanta to Buffalo, and you know, back and forth. But I didn't actually have to do any shoveling this year. We got out just before they got that 7-8 feet of snow or some craziness, and then we got out just before that, and then I came back around Christmas and spent a few days, and then went back home, back to Atlanta.
Best of luck this year. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks, Neil. No problem. Thank you.
That's Steve Geltz, who made his big league debut with the Angels, but first appeared in a Rays uniform last season. Now, don't forget, Dave and Andy are back on the air this Thursday for the next Countdown to Opening Day show from 7 to 8 o'clock. You can join Kevin Jepsen, new Rays reliever, as well as bench coach Tom Foley on the show. And if you missed the program, it'll be posted as a podcast on Friday. Again, read our blog, raysradio.moblogs.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio for the latest on Tampa Bay spring training. Thanks for joining us, and I'll speak with you next week.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com or follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.